Hello everybody, it's MrTall23 back with another video, and in this video I want to continue the series defending the new IFB and defending my church against the attacks from other churches or other preachers or just other Christians, whether they be heretics or even brothers in Christ who don't like the new IFB for whatever reason. And one of the things that is a common tradition amongst old IFB churches and amongst other evangelical type Christians today and just other Baptist type churches, and this also exists in Pentecostal churches and other places, is this practice of an altar call, right? And at my church, Faithful Word Baptist Church, and other like-minded churches, we don't practice the altar call because it's not biblical. Now, to a lot of people, this is a very sensitive subject because it's become in the mind of people who grew up Baptist that this is somehow a tradition of a Baptist church or tradition of Christian churches in general, and they say like that's part of the old time religion and all this kind of stuff, even though, as I'll explain later in this video, the altar call has only existed for like 200 years and it's not in the Bible. So we don't practice the altar call. We go out soul winning instead, because people getting saved, as I explained in the last video, is by preaching to people the gospel, and then if they believe it, they call on the name of the Lord. That's how salvation works. It's not wait for them to come to you and then preach the gospel in a church service, and then they come down the aisle, as you probably heard, right? People coming down the aisle to get saved. That's not how people get saved. People get saved by preaching or by hearing the gospel, right? And believing it. So I'm sure some people have gotten saved at an altar call or an evangelical type service, but the point I want to make in this video is that the altar call is not in the Bible, and it really takes away from the purpose of what you're supposed to be doing in church, which is not to preach the gospel, but to preach other doctrine, because the local church is for people who are already saved. It's not for people who, you know, are not saved, and then you have to get them saved in the church service. That's not what church is. Church is the congregation of believers. And so the altar call is not biblical, so we don't practice it. And some people, you know, think that we're like some kind of, you know, liberal, like, oh, you're not, you know, doing the traditions and the old time religion, so you're, you know, this newfangled way of doing things. No, no, the altar call is not in the Bible. And the altar call is actually a new practice instead. So let me read some scriptures pertaining to this subject. It says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, this is a command of Jesus Christ to his disciples. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." John 20, verse 21, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." So Jesus says that I'm sending you. Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Not wait for them to come to you, but go. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." It is a command to go and to preach. Okay, so that is why we go soul winning instead of doing the altar calls, because we're supposed to go and preach the gospel, not wait for them to come to us and hope that they get saved by coming down the aisle, whatever that means. You don't see that in the Bible, right? And not only this, but the only time that the word altar is mentioned in the New Testament, it's talking about usually the altar upon which sacrifices were offered in the Old Testament, which we know sacrifices and offerings are done away with in the New Covenant. So we don't offer sacrifices and offerings anymore. Now people will say, well, yeah, but we offer spiritual sacrifices, right? We're supposed to, you know, yield our body as a living sacrifice unto God. And that's why in some altar calls, they won't just, you know, lead people to get saved, but they will also, you know, say people who are already saved, you know, come down to the altar and, you know, get right with God and confess your sins and all that kind of stuff. And they'll say, well, you're offering a spiritual sacrifice to God. Yet the only time that the New Testament ever says the word altar, it's referring to the Old Testament altar of sacrifices. It never says anything about an altar in a church service. And usually these old IFB churches, which have this altar call and have, you know, coming down to the altar and kneeling at the altar, what they mean by an altar is a raised platform upon which the preacher stands. And usually it's like these steps, which is funny because the Bible literally says in the Old Testament, when you make an altar, to not put steps leading up to it, that nobody can, you know, be under it and look upon your nakedness or something like that. I think that's in Exodus chapter 20. So it literally commands when making an altar to not have steps. And then the thing that they call the altar in Baptist churches nowadays is literally just a platform with steps. Isn't that ironic? So this thing of there being an altar, which you come down the aisle to get saved or to get right with God and confess your sins, etc., this is not in the New Testament and never mentions anything like that. So you might ask, well, where does the altar call come from then? If it's not in the New Testament, then who invented it? Where does it come from? Why is it prevalent in Baptist churches today? Well, it actually comes from this heretic named Charles G. Finney, who's burning in hell right now. Okay. And it baffles the mind that some Baptist churches of the past have praised Charles G. Finney as some kind of man of God. I've heard Jack Hiles, for example, in some of his sermons say that Charles G. Finney was a man of faith and talk good about him. But when you actually look at what he believed and what he preached, he was a heretic and a work salvationist, and he was a false prophet. So here are some examples. And I made a video a few years ago about some of these false heroes of the faith, like Charles Finney and Charles Spurgeon and John Wesley and people like this. And I quoted some things from the texts and the sermons of these people to show that these people were heretics. And so I'm going to repeat some of these things again, just so you know what kind of person Charles G. Finney was. Because anybody who's watching this who is a Baptist and believes that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and understands that it's only faith alone, and once you believe, you're saved forever and you can never lose it. Anybody who's saved would realize from these quotes that Charles G. Finney was not saved. Okay, here's what he said in his book, Systematic Theology, in Lecture 55. It says, present evangelical faith implies a state of present sinlessness. Observe, faith is the yielding and committal of the whole will and of the whole being to Christ. This and nothing short of this is evangelical faith. But this comprehends and implies the whole of present true obedience to Christ. This is the reason why faith is spoken of as the end, as it were, the only condition of salvation. So he's saying, well, the only reason why the Bible says the only condition of salvation is faith is because faith actually doesn't mean faith. It actually means obedience and sinlessness. So according to Charles G. Finney, in order to be saved, you have to yield your whole self to Christ and be 100% perfectly obedient and without sin. That's heresy. Because number one, that's impossible. The Bible says if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But also the Bible never says you have to obey Christ and do works and follow him and things like this to get saved. It just says believe, right? Faith means trust. Faith means believe. It doesn't mean yield yourself and submit to him and make him the Lord of your life. That's foolishness. Here's another thing that Charles G. Finney says in his sermon called Salvation Always Conditional. That's a red flag right there. Preached in 1840, Lecture 24 at Oberlin College. This is what Charles G. Finney said. He says, no one act of faith nor any other exercise can render salvation from sin or hell unconditionally certain. Romans chapter 10 disagrees with you, buddy. He knows that now because he's in hell. Anyway, it says, this is manifest from the fact that warnings and threatenings are everywhere addressed to the saints, which would be absurd if their justification or sanctification were already unconditionally certain. It is a capital mistake and a dangerous error to maintain that one act of faith brings the soul into a state of unconditional and permanent justification. Well, the Bible says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So according to the Bible, you're justified if you believe. So Charles Finney was a heretic. He preached a false gospel. He preached a false way of salvation. So that means Charles Finney wasn't even a man of God. He was a false prophet, and he's currently burning in the flames of hell, in the lowest hell, because he deceived millions of people and sent millions of people to hell with him. So this is the man who invented the altar call, and it doesn't take much research to figure that out. Just quickly type in on Google, where did the altar call come from? And every single source said it was Charles G. Finney. And even some sources I found that he did it because he was an abolitionist and he was trying to recruit people to his abolitionist movement. That was really where the altar call came from. Because it's not in the Bible, so that means it's a tradition of man. And you know what Jesus said, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men is? He calls it vain worship. In vain do they worship for me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So if you say that part of our religion is doing this altar call, then basically what you're saying is that the commandments of men are part of our religion. So what are you doing? You're worshiping God in vain by doing the altar call. That's a meaningless thing because it's invented by man, particularly by a man who is a false prophet. So that's why we don't do it, because it's unbiblical and it's invented by a heretic, right? Now, just a few other points about the altar call and about why it's unbiblical, besides the fact that it's just not in the Bible. I mean, that should be enough. So it's like, why would you do this if it's not in the Bible? But then also the fact that the Bible teaches that the church is for the saved. Okay, so this altar call has kind of turned church into preaching the gospel every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night. And so they expect half the people to be there, or that are there, to be not saved. And then therefore they preach the gospel and hope that a lot of people come down the aisle. And this is typically how it is at old IFB churches. And this is why a lot of old IFB people are deceived on a lot of doctrine, because no doctrine is ever preached, because they only just talk about the gospel. They are babes, as it talks about in the book of Hebrews, that babes, you know, just only, you know, who are unskillful in the word of righteousness, they just, it's all about the milk to them. So they never actually preach the meat of the word. So these people go to church and all they hear over and over again is the gospel, even though they're already saved, because the pastor wants people to get saved in the service, even though that's not what church is for. Here's what the Bible says church is for and what the offices of the church are for in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, verse 11 to 12, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints." So that's people who are already saved. "For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So the Bible tells us these offices are given for the saints, that they might be perfect, that they might be edified, that they might have perfect knowledge, right? So church is for people who are already saved, that they might grow in the faith, right? It's not for people who are unsaved. And so these evangelical type services where they have these altar calls inviting people to come forward to get saved, obviously sometimes, you know, you have a big congregation, people there aren't going to get saved, but what you should do is instead just preach them the gospel before or after the service, instead of making the preaching about preaching the gospel, because a pastor's job, according to the Bible, is to edify and to perfect the body of Christ, meaning people who are already saved and baptized. The pastor's job is not to get up in church and just only preach to the unsaved, because then the saved people are not being fed. Here's another reason why the altar call is unbiblical, because some churches, they might not have this evangelical type altar call where they're trying to get people saved in the service, but they might have this thing where they're like, well, if you're not right with God, you know, if you have this sin in your life or whatever, come down to the altar, kneel before the altar and confess your sin to God and get right with God. This is something that's also common today in old IFB churches. The Bible teaches, though, that when we pray, we shouldn't do it openly to be seen of men, which is exactly what the altar call is. It's something to be seen of men. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 6, the Bible says, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So the way that these altar calls are performed is they say, hey, you know, everybody bow your head, close your eyes, and, you know, if you're struggling with X, Y, and Z sin, you know, raise your hand and come down to the altar, and, you know, I'll pray for you, and you could pray here, and, you know, God bless you, I see that hand, and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, all these people are coming up to the altar, and they're getting right with God. And I've seen this before at the old IFB church I used to go to, where we'd have these altar calls where after the end of every service, they say, okay, stand, bow your head, and, you know, try to get right with God or whatever, and come down to the altar. And it would be the same people over and over again coming to the altar to pray. And then eventually you see those people, they just get out of church. They're not right with God. They're not serving God. It's like, what are they doing when they're praying and kneeling before the altar? They're not getting right with God. They're just doing it to be seen of men. Okay, because why would somebody have to pray before everybody else every week, you know, kneel down at the front of the church before everybody, so everybody can see them, and then yet nothing changes in their life, right? Because it's not genuine, because they're doing it to be seen of men. So that's the point I'm saying, that we shouldn't just go and just pray in front of everybody else, just like, hey, look at me, I'm so godly, I'm repenting right now. No, pray in secret, in your closet, okay? Obviously, there's a time to pray in church, right, as a congregation, but to just, like, do your own prayer before everybody else, you know, look at me, I'm so godly, I'm repenting in front of everybody else, that's a pharisaical attitude. So this is not biblical. It's not said anywhere in the Bible that we should do this altar call thing. It was invented by a heretic, and it really takes the focus of church away from people who are already saved to people who are unsaved. And in the cases where it's, you know, a sort of thing of, you know, get right with God, repent of your sins or whatever, then it often just makes people basically be, you know, pharisaical and look at me and look, I'm praying before everybody, I'm getting right with God, all that kind of stuff. It draws attention to people by, you know, everybody coming forth the altar or whatever. So that's why the altar call is not righteous to do, and it's not in the Bible, and I don't think we should do it at all. And so go soul winning instead. If you want to get people saved, don't fill up the church, the house of God, with people who aren't believers, because the house of God is for believers. Go out to their doors and their places of hanging out or whatever, and go preach to them, and then you can bring them in, and then they won't have to come down the aisles or whatever. They'll already be saved. So this is the way that we should do it. This is what the Bible says. It's a command to go preach the gospel. So stop getting your traditions from men, stop doing vain worship, and stop thinking that Charles Finney is a good man of God, because he's a heretic and he's burning in hell. So that's what I hope you get out of this video. So thank you, buddy, for watching. God bless you, and goodbye.